بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن حسين بن وحوح رضي الله عنه أن طلحة بن البراء رضي الله عنه مرض، فأتاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعوده فقال: إني لا أرى طلحة إلا قد حدث فيه الموت، فآذنوني به وعجلوا به، فإنه لا ينبغي لجيفة مسلم أن تحبس بين ظهراني أهله. رواه أبو داود. حسين بن وحوى رضي الله عنه narrates that Talha bin Bara, this is a youngster, as we mentioned yesterday, as in Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned his incident, the profuse love that he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that once he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kissed the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and professed, Murni bima ahbabt fala wala asilaka amra, that my love for you, Ya Rasulullah, expresses itself in this manner, that command me with whatever you want, I will never disobey you. Sahaba understood that just empty professions of love or declarations of love are not sufficient, but that the love has to translate itself into what we call ita'at, obedience. Then it is true love. Ta'asil ilaha wa anta tudhiru hubbahu hadha la'amri fil qiyasi badi'u law kana hubbuka sadiqan la ata'tahu innal muhibba limay yuhibbu muti'u. Like the poet says, you disobey Allah and you say you love Allah. تَعْسِلْ إِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تُذْهِرُ حُبَّهُ. He says, I take an oath, this defies logic. لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ. If your love, your professions or declarations of devotion are true, then you would obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. The true lover obeys the one whom he loves. It's pointless you say you love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you do that which draws the anger of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find this youngster, Sahaba particularly, as I often mention, ulama say, he say our Qibla for Salah is Kaabatullah. When you in Salah you will face Kaaba, then your Salah is made. And they say your Qibla for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Ashabu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By following Sahaba, they taught us how to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Classical example, youngster of that time. Murni bima ahbabt wala asilaka amra. Command me with whatever you want, Ya Rasulullah. I will never disobey you. My love will not allow me to disobey you. So Talha becomes ill, like I said yesterday, 13, maybe 14 years of age. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam late at night comes to make his ayadat to visit him. The wealth of ahadith that we have passed recently, touched upon, is this, that this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aside from being the Nabi, was the spiritual elder, the senior, the guide. Yet he kept that contact. Anybody was sick, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit. Anybody had some plight or difficulty, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. Here also a youngster, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, goes walking late at night to go and visit him. Says to his family members that I cannot see Talha living much longer. حَدَثَ فِيهِ الْمَوْتِ. I can see the athar and the signs of mort and death evident upon him. In other words, his demise is imminent. It appears to me that he will not survive much longer. In other words, he was terminally ill, very, very ill. So, أَذِنُونِي. Inform me if he passes away. In other words, I will come and perform his janazah salah. وَعَجِّلُوا بِهِ. Do not delay in the burial arrangements. This is the section of the hadith is the reason why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this particular hadith in this chapter. Al-mubadara ila tajheez, the hastening for the preparation of the burial arrangements. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ajilu bihi, big ujlat, don't delay. Janaza is not something that should be delayed, as we discussed previously. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions one of the many reasons why we do not delay. La yambaghi li jifati muslim, it is not appropriate that the corpse of a believer remains within his family members for an inordinately long time. As we know, physiologically, biologically also, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that the body will start rotting, will start decaying very quickly after a person passes away. So that is obviously one clear reason why we should not delay. It prolongs or protracts the grief of the family members. We also don't want to remember someone who has passed away from a foul odor or smell that starts emanating from the body, which is what will occur if we have to keep this body for an inordinately long time. So there are many wisdoms in this injunction of Shariat of not delaying in the burial. It's mentioned about Talha bin Bara radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, having visited him and having informed his family members that I don't think he will last much longer, and if he passes away, send for me and do not delay in his burial arrangements. At the time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited, Talha was unconscious after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. He opened up his eyes and he said, I can sense that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was here. So his family members said, yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit you. What was the injunction? What did my Nabi say? So they informed him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we must send for him if you pass away. So he responded in that weakened state, idh finuni laylan alhiquni bi rabbi, adfinuni laylan, don't delay, if I pass away tonight, bury me tonight, let me meet my Rabb. Wala tad'u Rasulullah, don't call Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't inconvenience him. Normally we would feel we want the barakah and the blessings of the attendance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our janazah. We want the blessings of the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But such was the consideration. Why? Inni akhafu alayhi min al-yahud an yusaba fi sababi. Because there are some yahud, enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are living in the precincts of where I am. And I fear that in the cloak or cover of darkness, if you are going to inconvenience the Nabi of Allah and send for him for my burial, they may harm or hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأُخْبِرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حِينَ أَصْبَحَ. The next day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed what happened. Talha passed away as per his request. We buried him quickly, and he did not want that you should be inconvenienced or exposed to any type of inordinate danger. This is why he advised that we should not inform you, contrary to your instruction. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed about this, the next day, جَاءَ حَتَّى وَقَفَ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ, he came and he stood in front of the grave of Talha. This is one very, very important lesson that we can glean from this entire incident. The one is true devotion, true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other is what we call the thamara. What is the return? What is the recompense? What will Allah give you if your love is true? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands at the grave of this youngster. Saffan nasu ma'ahu. People stood behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They formed almost a saf. Thumma rafa'a yaday. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised up his hands and he made this dua. Allahumma ilqa Talha wa anta tadhaku ilayhi wa huwa yadhaku ilayhi. Oh Allah, Let your meeting with this youngster tomorrow on the day of judgment be such that you are smiling at him and he is smiling at you. In other words, he is a jannati. Such a beautiful dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes for this youngster. Babul Mu'izzati 'inda al-qabr. The next chapter Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings is a chapter which deals with giving of advice at the grave. In other words, in the graveyard, sometimes when the body is brought, the qabr is still being prepared, so there is a gap. People have gathered. At that time, we should give some sort of advice so that the time is not wasted and people don't get involved in unnecessary chit-chat, etc. So we find there was certain occasions when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave nasihat and advice to the sahaba at the time of mort and death. An Ali radiallahu anhu qal, kunna fi janazatin fi baqi al-gharqat. Baqi gharqat. Gharqat is the type of is the name of a particular type of tree or plant that grew profusely in the precincts of the graveyard of Medina Munawwara. So the graveyard got its name from that particular plant or tree, Baqi al-gharqad. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala says that we were in a janaza in Baqi al-gharqad. Fa'atana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us. Faqa'ada, he sat. In other words, he sat down in the graveyard. وَقَعَدَنَا حَوْلَهُ Immediately, we sat down around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَعَهُ مِخْصَرَةٌ فَنَكَسَ وَجَعَلَ يَنْكُتُ بِمِخْصَرَتِهِ Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a stick, call it a staff, asa, whatever you want to call it, with him. And he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began prodding the ground with his stick, knocking the stick or marking the ground with his stick. Thumma qal, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Up to this point, certain aspects we can see. One is the simplicity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Didn't order a chair should be brought, or some sheet, even a sheet should be put down. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself sat on the ground of the graveyard. Sahaba, such was their devotion to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that immediately seeing the situation, what had transpired, they also gathered around Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We find that the sight of the mayyit, ru'yatul mayyit, and not just one, when in a graveyard there are many, many graves. So ru'yatul mayyit, وَذِكْرُ الْمَوْتِ and the speaking about mort and death and the sight and the manzar and the scene of it. Ulama say يُرَقِّقُ الْقَلْبِ this is something that softens the heart. وَيُذْهِبْ غِلْذَتَهُ and it takes away the what we call the mel kuchel, the dirt, the zulmat, the darkness that creeps into the heart as a result of profuse involvement with dunya, looking at the glitter and glamour, the lights, unnecessary looking at what we shouldn't be looking at, speaking about. Now when you come into the graveyard and the final abode, the scene is there in front of you. You see the hole in the ground, you see the insects that are crawling, the inevitable realization that this is my abode. At my house, I'm worried about the tiling and the plumbing and worried about the latest furniture and worried about all the comforts. Like it's mentioned, there was one person, he was fixing one light. So one Jamaat visited him. And he was so absorbed in what he was doing that he didn't even pay attention to the Jamaat. So one Sati in the Jamaat just uttered a few words. And this had a profound effect upon him afterwards when it dawned upon him. What was the word? 7 words. What about the light in your grave? What about the light in your... You're so worried about this light that you haven't got time to listen to the words of Allah and His Rasul. What about the light in your grave? So that night when he was going to sleep, this struck his heart, that that dark hole in the ground is my eventual abode. I'm worried about the tiling and lighting and plumbing and of this dunya. What preparation have I made for that? So we find that giving advice at that time, we find that that advice has a profound effect. Inshallah, we'll continue.